Lions Collective. Shout out to Prize Picks, sponsor of the show. Today we have our Prize Picks choice of the day, and we also are going to have our Dog and Pony Show Brewing pick of the week, all in one, because we're doing our first ever mock draft on the show. All right, my obsession is kind of leaking into the professional world here, so we're doing it on Lions Collective. All the mock draft sickos out there, you are welcome. And hopefully you won't hold me under too much pressure, because I'm going to be kind of the man, I guess, who ultimately selects the player. So my ass is on the line. Okay. I'm on the hot seat today, but the fellas are going to be weighing in. But how are you guys feeling a day away from the NFL draft? I see someone just commented that tomorrow is Christmas and they can't wait to see what Santa gives them tomorrow. This tomorrow could go a lot of ways, and I'm fired up about it. I cannot wait.
I look at it more like the last day of school, like all this buildup to just get over the hump and get it over with. Like, I don't know. Like, I enjoy the draft. I do. But like at this stage, I'm sick of it. Like, I'm sick of the speculation. Like, let's, and I was probably sick of it like 4 weeks ago. Let's do this thing. I feel like I'll be over a pretty big hump tonight. Once we get past this, this is the only mock draft I'm doing. So, or I've done.
Right now, for me, it feels like the last day of freedom. We're about to be locked away in a room for three days, basically. But I am enjoying it. You know, I'm going to head over to LCA a little bit after the show, go see the Pistons bounce back against Magic. But I am excited for draft weekend. This is a long time coming, and I know we put months of work into this, and it feels like it happens quick once it does get here. Like, it's over within 3 days, but obviously months of prep leading up to it, and it's always fun to take a victory lap if you're right, or just try to dive into a new prospect if you weren't too familiar with him beforehand. So it's a fun time.
Yeah, I agree with J-Rod that it feels like the last day of school, if the last day of school includes an exam, like we all have to take tomorrow at the same time once they make their pick. And the exam is 3 days long, stretching into Saturday night. But my only wish for the draft is that tomorrow night, when the Lions pick rolls around, assuming they stay put at 17, that Caden Proctor is on the board, just to know one way or the other how they truly feel about Caden Proctor, and we can get the truth on these reports or the smoke screen that the Lions supposedly love Caden Proctor. So I'm fascinated to see how that little subplot plays out tomorrow night.
I'd be sweating.
I will say, like, I don't know if anybody quite understands the feeling of Sunday after a draft.
Yeah,
I imagine it's like a doctor that's worked a 24-hour shift. Like, you just sit on the couch and just stare off into the space, and you wonder where the last 3 hours have gone. But like, that's all you can do after the sprint / marathon. It's both a sprint and a marathon for three straight days.
Yeah, I had a buddy of mine send me a bet slip, and it was Max Yanachor to the Lions. He put $5 on it to win like $400. And I'm thinking,
well, and he lost $5.
Well, you know what? This is where I might have to call the number, because he sent me it and I go, those are good odds. I'm like, and then, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put $5 and it's going to go down the drain. And then it's going to be like Kenyon Sadiq or something. But it's that time where you're trying to predict who goes 17. And honestly, it's like the best, it's the most talked about topic. Oh, what's the pick at 17? It's like, hey, your guess is as good as mine, dude. I don't know. And that's what makes it so much fun. It feels like you're trying to solve a cold case every year with Brad Holmes. It's like, just can't do it. So
your buddy's like, you know what's better than one Geomanu?
I would not be shocked. Brad, there's something, I just have this feeling something's going to happen tomorrow, and you know, me saying the word edge 1,000 times and offensive tackle 1,000 times, it just means nothing like it does every year. But that's what makes it fun. And today we're gonna do our mock draft, and so what we're gonna do, we're going to do a 5-rounder. We don't have to get to the 5th round. We can just do 4 rounds. We're not doing 7 rounds where, like, you get Jeff Iafrates drafted in the 7th round, all due respect. And we're just going to kind of get rid of that. And, you know, if the chat feels some way about a pick or something, feel free, comment, and Q&A. We'll get to the end of the part of the show, depending on kind of timing today. Well, let's roll. Pick 17. So we're using PFF, and we're using – like the board they have, and they have like consensus boards and, you know, stuff like that. So I decided to use like a more realistic board. So if there's any like curveballs in here, we'll talk about it. and we're just going to slowly kind of go through the first round. So let's get to it. So let me make sure we can kind of figure this screen share thing out. Good.
Oh.
And let me pull up this thing right here. All right.
Check us out, boys. Come on.
Baby steps.
There you go.
Wow.
So here's the mock draft. We have we're going to start. I'm going to turn on slow, and we'll stop at around the 10th pick. We'll kind of evaluate the top 10, talk about what we kind of think is going to happen. Maybe they throw something crazy at us in this mock draft, and we'll see what kind of we'll see what position the Lions are in here. So let's get this thing started. So number one, not to think too much about it. We're just going to let this thing roll. So Fernando Mendoza goes number one. That's an obvious one. David Bailey, two. Sonny Styles goes three. First Ohio State player drafted. Arvell Reese, four. Carnell Tate, five to the Giants, six. The Browns take Delane, the corner.
There's the
random curve. Jordan Tyson goes to the Commanders. Jeremiah Love falls to the Saints. And then the Chiefs take Spencer Fanoe at nine. And then the Giants take Francis Maui-Goa.
The run on tackles has begun.
At 10. So, yeah, this is where the randomness kind of kicks in.
So can I say something first?
Yes.
I did a couple of beat writer mock drafts. I was a part of one at The Athletic and one for my colleague at The Athletic, Zach Rosenblatt, covers the Jets. He did like a beat writer mock around the country for his podcast. And so the last two beat writer mocks I participated in, Spencer fell to 17, and I snatched up in a heartbeat. I don't think that's going to be realistic come Thursday. And this sort of reflects that, where he goes ninth to the Chiefs. I don't know if the Chiefs are in the market for a tackle, and if they do, I feel like they would want like a bigger one. But you never know. Interesting, though, because I was shocked that I was able to get him. The most recent one we did was Tuesday.
Right.
And I was shocked with him still on the board at 17. Like, Venga went 14th in that one. Keldrick Falk went, like, 12th. So when he was still there, I was like, all right, maybe it's realistic. But I wouldn't hold my breath.
The Chiefs probably are in the market for a guard, though, right? I mean, and there's definitely some speculation that Fano might ultimately end up on the interior.
I'm curious, Colton. You know, when I went through the tackles, I would say from a talent perspective, Fanu was fifth for me. And, you know, we can get into the conversation about Proctor again. I don't want to, but like Proctor was probably fourth. And then it was Maioga, Freeling and Blake Miller. I like Blake Miller better than Fano, and I'm sure I'm in the minority there, but like I don't feel bad, I guess, about missing out on this player. I don't think he fits the kind of the mauler mentality that the Lions like, and I don't think he's as polished enough as a pass protector. He's super athletic. Like, he moves really well. There's pluses in that, but you know, it's just not my favorite tackle prospect in this one.
Yeah, I think it depends on preference. I think the benefit of Fano is that you could put him at right tackle if you think he's better than Larry Borum. And if not, then you can plug him and play him at left guard too. So I think you got upside with the positional versatility there. He is more of an athletic guy, so probably better fit for like a pure zone scheme versus a power man, you know, heavy scheme, which seems like the Lions are kind of moving to anyway. So maybe not a perfect stylistic fit, but I think he's pretty technically sound. And if he's there at 17, that's kind of a no-brainer for me. But again, I feel like his range right now is probably anywhere from 6 to 17 in that range. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I was just going to mention the Francis Maui Noah stuff with the herniated disc. I don't think he's going to fall very far, but I would not be surprised if you have maybe – obviously Jeremiah Love is not going to fall to 8. Let's just make that very clear. Like, he's not – I just don't see it. I think teams are going to try and trade up for him. But the Francis Maui Noah one is interesting to me. I don't think it's a long-term injury where, you know, you have maybe you're concerned for his career, but it is an injury that I think might affect maybe a couple of draft spots as opposed – maybe instead of going to Arizona, he still goes, like, back half of the top 10. So I think that could happen here. That had happened in this mock draft.
I'm curious where Lions fans would land if the situation plays out where he drops to them, right? And you know, herniated discs are somewhat scary, but maybe not the worst thing that a player could be dealing with backwise. You know, when you get the chance to get the best of something at a discount, like that's always really tempting. But there's clearly this narrative that Brad drafts injured guys. Like, not all football players are injured at some point in their life. So I'm just curious where the fan base would fall. I'm sure it'd be a very uniform opinion.
All right, let's keep this thing moving. We'll go a couple more picks. We'll see what, because Reuben Bain still hasn't gotten drafted. I think that was the one that stood out to me, mm-hmm. Which I think could be more realistic, and at least in the top. I think he could fall outside the top 10, even though he's a great player. But we'll see where he goes. Let's keep it pushing. So 11. Okay.
There he goes.
11. Okay. Caleb Downs goes 12.
Oof, that's a steal for Dallas, man. Jeez.
Caden Proctor goes 13 to the Rams. Zaga goes to the Ravens, which I like, honestly, and I mean this I'm trying to be objective, and I hate it saying it, but I love Vega in Baltimore. I think that just makes a lot of sense for them, and that's probably my biggest fear when it comes to drafting him, because if he doesn't fall in, if he doesn't go to Baltimore, I also love him with the Buccaneers. So that makes me a little more concerned. And then I saw him go as high as like a 10. Not anymore, but you know, in like the 10 to 12 range maybe. So I don't know. Vega could go off the board higher, I've been saying. We'll see.
He's going to be an all-pro in Baltimore. Like, just book it.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Let's see. Who's available right now?
Is there, this feels like the Mesidor range begins. And I know the Bucks to me seem like they are intent on adding an edge rusher or a defensive player of some kind here.
It doesn't let me see, like, click the players that are available. But I guess so Monroe Freeling is still here. I think that's the big one. Mm-hmm.
The question is, do we think the Bucks, if we're thinking tackle, which we'll have this discussion in a second, do we think the Bucks or the Jets are in the market for a tackle?
I don't think either are, but I also think that makes them trade possibilities for teams maybe looking to move up to jump the Lions. Yeah. I think this is where you have kind of maybe that serious conversation of, do you pay a small price? I don't think it's going to cost you a ton to move up from 17 to 15 or 17 to 16. You might be able to just, just say, Aaron Glenn, you owe us one. but to protect your interest, if you believe in Freeling, and I'm in that camp, I very much believe Freeling is a dude. Right. I'm willing to pay a little bit. And I go back and I've used this comp a few times, and you know, whether it's worked out the way you wanted to or not, the Terrion Arnold trade is a great example, right? You needed a cornerback, one that was very highly rated, dropped a little bit below where he was expected to go, and you paid that premium to go up and secure that player. Like that's the type of move Brad Holmes makes. And wouldn't be one that I'd be surprised to see him make in this draft to prevent, you know, getting sniped by somebody else.
And the other parallel that would exist there, Justin, is that much like Freeling from Georgia, Terrion came from a program and a head coach at the time that Brad Holmes had immense trust in. Like they also traded up for J-Mo when he was coming out of Alabama under Nick Saban. And the calculus might be a little bit different regarding Alabama now with Saban out, but they clearly love players out of those high profile SEC programs. Georgia obviously fits that bill. And so you would have the built-in faith that you're getting a player from a program that you can respect and that churns out NFL talent.
Just going back to that trade with Arnold, Lions gave up a third rounder to go from 29 to 24th to move up two spots. One spot you might be able to get away with giving up one of those two fourth rounders. And again, I think that is a worthwhile price to pay to get the guy you believe is the long-term answer at a premium position.
It's like that graphic the Lions posted. They made what is it, average of like five, little over five trades a draft. And I was trying to do the math in my head. Now
it's crazy.
I don't know if he does five, but he's going to do multiple trades. And I was trying to at least think in my head, like predict of where those come from. And I do think one of those, to your guys's point, like he in this position could be moving up, like just scratch one off the board if you to move up a spot or two to take your guy. Like I think that's very realistic. So in this position, maybe that is the case. But we'll just roll with it and act like it isn't the case because there's no trades here. But
it's a good conversation to have because it could play out that way on draft night. But for the sake of this, I think we should just roll it and see what we get at 17.
All right. So watch Monroe Freeling go for some reason.
I know.
Safety, Dylan Thiedemann, mm-hmm. and then Mekhi Lemon to the Jets. Okay, that's on brand. That's awesome. Okay.
the Lions would have to like where they stand right now.
For sure. So, I mean, their two biggest needs, right, long-term are edge and tackle. I mean, I don't think there's any real discussion there. Like, obviously, there are other places they need players and depth and talent and, you know, potential starters down the road. But, like, premium positions, it's always best to use those premium picks to get them. And so, you know, we have Freeling here. We have Blake Miller here. I lean Freeling in that discussion. It's not a huge gap. It's an A-minus situation. And then go to edge, you got, I think, Falk and Mesidor are two conversations, right?
Yeah.
And so, or, you know, if Colton wants to get a Mizzou, Michigan State hybrid in there with a Zion Young pick, just hit both. I talked about this. Like, my opinion morphed on Falk. It did. Like, I see what's likable about what he offers immediately as a run stopper, an upsider, as a pass protector. Mesidor, man, if he was 2 years younger and was the same dude, he probably wouldn't be here at 17 because, like,
right.
just a violent, active hands, disruptive, can play the run. Like, he checks all the boxes you want to address, but he's like 42 years old, right? Like, you can't address that. So, like,
it's crazy
for me. Yeah. Well, it's clearly a Monroe Freeling here.
Bertie, who you got?
Yeah, I mean, look, I would also favor Monroe Freeling here. I think for the sake of discussion, I'll make a pitch for Blake Miller. I think when we were talking about Blake Miller last week or maybe 2 weeks ago, my opinion shifted a little bit on where they should go here. If both Blake Miller and Monroe Freeling were on the board, I still think Monroe Freeling has the higher upside. I still think he would be the better value at 17. But again, just to play devil's advocate, I like the idea that you are getting in Blake Miller a day one starter in all likelihood who can step into an offensive line that already has a star tackle that can step into a team that is firmly in its Super Bowl window, whether or not they publicly believe in windows and can push this team higher next season. And now I was talking about this actually on a panel with Dave Riquette and Nick Baumgartner last week at the Detroit Economic Club. And Dave was a little bit skeptical of the idea that the Lions, you know, maybe just a couple draft picks away from elevating themselves directly back into Super Bowl contention, that upper echelon, like 3-4 teams in the NFL. And to me, they are. Like, if they can square away tackle here and then maybe add like a speed rusher in the second round, I think you are firmly back in the conversation of like the 2 to 3 best teams in the NFL if those guys are what you think they can be in year one. And Blake Miller, to me, like, he checks the boxes in the same way that Monroe Freeling does. But like, the non-negotiables to play under Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes are that you got to be tough as all hell, you have to care for your teammates, and you have to love football like it infects you. And Blake Miller obviously does. And I know I made the comparison when I was writing about him just a couple of days ago to the left tackle they drafted 16th overall 10 years ago, a guy by the name of Taylor Decker. And he wasn't considered the best tackle in that draft. You know, he was the fourth one off the board. And the three guys who went before him, Ronnie Stanley, Jack Conklin, and Laramie Tunsil, like, all ultimately earned higher accolades and acclaim in the NFL. But Decker was a stable starter from day one. He became a franchise pillar. And I just think, like, in the NFL, teams crave dependability and predictability at the game's most important positions. Like, it's one of the reasons why Jared Goff loved Taylor Decker and why Stafford loved Decker before that. And I think Blake Miller is built in the same mold. I think he could step in here and stabilize the tackle position right away. And he could become a guy who is an 8 to 9, maybe even 10-year starter. He fits everything they're about. And to me, this would elevate the team in 2026 and potentially well beyond that.
Before I move on to the player I'll discuss, just like looking at those two tackles, I think Freeling's upside is like certainly higher because this is a guy that was a 5-star prospect coming out, kind of lived up to the billing at Georgia when he got there and was finally seeing playing time. And you saw, you know, obviously some youth on his tape, but he really kind of rounded into form as the season went on. So I understand it. I think Blake Miller, though, if you're talking about like a culture fit, what the Lions look for with that toughness, I almost think that they would take him at 17 and not think twice about it just because he fits everything that they're about. But I'll just go a different route. I'll go Keldrick Faulk just for the sake of discussion. We've talked about the edge position for so many years, and the Lions obviously have a type. And if you're going to describe their type, it's a long pass rusher because they like their length. They want that big end opposite of Aiden Hutchinson. They want a guy that can crush the can and crush the pocket, wins with effort, can set an edge, can get after it, probably a little bit versatile, and high character. And like Keldrick Faulk checks pretty much every box. And as fun as it is for us to try to pair them with the speed rusher, or we kind of get, you know, enamored with the speed and the guys that can win quickly, they've proven time and time again that they have a type. And now I think the problem for them is they haven't been able to get high enough for that type in a couple of years now. So if a guy like Keldrick Faulk is staring at them at 17, I really think that it would at least be a tough conversation. Now it would depend what the rest of the board looks like, but you're talking about a guy that can play on the edge, can play in the interior. He was one of the most versatile players at his position in college football last year. I know people aren't thrilled with the production, but they're moving him all over that defensive line. You factor in the fact that he's one of the youngest players in this class. He's still maturing he's a mature player in person, but he's still maturing on the field. I think the Lions would not view that as maybe a detriment. They would say this guy is an ascending player. And at the very least, we're getting perhaps a special run defender on early downs that can learn how to rush the passer in due time. And for a player like that with his upside, we're going to take that bet and, you know, rely on our infrastructure to turn him into this high level player that we think he can be. So, now, if you do that, I would try to go at a speed rusher at some point in the draft. Maybe you double up there, but I certainly think they wouldn't be afraid to take a player like Keldrick Faulk, and I think he fits them in so many ways. So I'll just throw his name out there.
Little known fact, Faulk was born while Mesidor was in high school. It's crazy.
That's wild. Crazy work.
Will, really quickly, Will, you mentioned Miller as a comp to Decker. Actually, I think Freeling – to me is more of a comp to Decker, just because of the polished pass pro coming out of college. I look at Miller, and I think maybe Lions fans will take this negatively, and they shouldn't. I see a little bit more Riley Reiff. And I say that, I mean also more athletic. Like, I think it's surprising to me given how much experience Miller had. Miller's 22. Like, he feels like he should be in the Mesidor bracket of getting dinner at Denny's at 5.
Bro, you having a real life crisis over there?
Yeah.
Well, like, on his ass.
And I, what it is, like, I love the player, but
God, I hope they draft Mesidor.
Yeah, me too.
We will delete this podcast off the internet forever.
It's actually getting clipped right now. It's prepped and ready to go.
But, like, I see this. Riley Reiff played 10 years in the NFL, right? He played left tackle. He played right tackle. He was really good early on in his career, and he actually kind of got worse as his career went on in the league. But, like, you look at his PFF grades early in his career, you know, it was all, like, 80s and high 70s. Like, I keep saying Miller is a really high floor talent. I think maybe the ceiling's not there, but you know, if you got a Riley Reiff caliber player at right tackle at 17, like, I think you feel pretty good if that's your quote unquote weak link on an offensive line. I'll ask you guys this, because it reminds me a little bit of the Michael Mayer, Sam Laporta discussion. I think everybody kind of viewed Mayer as the best tight end in that draft, and Brad had the decision and went with Laporta and surprised some people. Like, if the Lions had the option of Freeling and Miller and went Miller, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how surprised are you? Because for me, it's like a
not at all.
4.
Like 2.
Yeah.
I think they would prefer Miller. I don't know. Like, just based on what I've heard about him, he told it sort of at the combine where he's like, yeah, you know, I had that wrist injury and spring ball, and like, it kind of sucked that I had to miss a practice. But, you know, I delayed my surgery until spring break so I could like try to maximize my time on the field with my boys. So I really wanted to be out there for spring practice. When he was saying that, I was like, I mean, yeah, the guy's a Lion. So he fits their type. Obviously, Freeling's upside is higher, so it's just a matter of what you're looking for. But I would not be shocked by that at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think the floor makes sense for a team that already has a high ceiling based on the roster that it's assembled. And the reason, maybe even more than the technique or the tape, that I make the Decker comparison, J-Raj, is that Freeling likely isn't a day one starter in the NFL. Freeling is likely bridged to by Larry Borum. And I think that would lower the team's ceiling next year, even if it might lift it into the future. But Blake Miller, I do think is starting, or at least pushing to start earnestly on day one. And if he can beat Borum out for the job, if that's your pick, that's a good thing. Like, you're in a better place as a football team in 2026 and beyond. That's what Decker was. Like, he arrived in different situations, but there was never a doubt that he was going to be your guy off of the jump. And even though he was never quite as good as the other tackles drafted ahead of him, man, if you can get 10 years of dependable play at offensive tackle, it sure is hard to turn down.
I mean, look what you started, Justin. I mean, Trevor says, my uncle served with Mazador in Korea.
Nice. Nice.
I mean, it's just, I will say the,
I love Mazador, so I don't like
I do too. Awesome player.
he's on the board now, which makes this whole thing even more hilarious. So he's on the board. Yeah.
And you shouldn't draft him. Just ignore everything we just said and draft him.
Well, Brad, in my position, Brad has the opportunity to get me to crash out at Dog and Pony Show Brewing on Thursday, because Kenyon Sadiq is on the board as well, nothing against. I mean, I'm not going to throw shots. I mean, Kenyon Sadiq, I don't want the smoke with this man, so I'm not going to throw shots at him. But that would be the pick where I would probably, if this is how it went, and you had options between Blake, Monroe Freeling, Keldrick Falk, Akeem Mezidor, and you took a tight end.
Imagine an offense with Jahmyr Gibbs, Amon Ross St. Brown, Jameson Williams, Kenyon Sadiq, Just imagine. That's
awesome. You know what? I imagine it. They would go from averaging 29 a game to 30 a game.
And that might be the difference between a couple wins, get you back in the playoffs. Yeah,
That's fair. You know what? So in this position, I'm going to select Monroe Freeling. I think it's between both tackles, Blake and Monroe. And I'll pull the trigger on Monroe Freeling. So that's the pick at 17. Like, and then we'll keep it pushing. So 18, Kenyon Sadiq, awesome, goes in the division in the NFC North. Katie McDonald goes to the Panthers. 20, Keldrick Falk to the Cowboys. Mm. There you go. Max Iannaccioro to the Steelers. Blake Miller goes to the Chargers. That doesn't make any sense, but here we go. Caleb Lomu to the Eagles.
Run on tackles.
And Ty Simpson goes to the Browns. Zion Young to the Bears at 25. Akeem Mezidor to the Bills. 27, the 49ers take Colton Hood out of Tennessee.
Great name.
Omar Cooper Jr. goes to the Texans. Makes sense. Well, for some reason, I feel like the Texans just always take wide receivers. 29, McNeil Warren. 30, Cassius Howell to the – let's see this. We'll stop the first round. Cassius Howell to the Dolphins, and then T.J. Parker to the Patriots, and then Seahawks take Chris Johnson, which I've heard a lot of stuff about Chris Johnson, the cornerback out of San Diego State. Could kind of flirt right in the first round there. So
TJ Parker feels like a Patriots pick all the way.
Yeah, definitely.
I think this could be a sneaky spot, the back end of the first, for Malachi Lawrence. I think he ends up in the first round.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I am shocked that people have him in the second. I don't think he'll be there at 50, but I see a lot of mock drafts with him there at 50. Yeah. I don't see that happening.
I almost felt disrespectful taking him at 50. Like, I just stopped doing it because there's just no way in hell that guy makes it to 50, quite honestly.
Colton, I like that we're having some disagreements here. I'm not in on Malachi Lawrence either. I think it's good for us to have some disagreements here. But, like, that's a dude that played a ton. I expected more against a low-level competition, and I saw flashes. And I don't want to see flashes from a guy playing at UCF. I want to see dominance, and I just – it didn't click for me.
The NFL routinely drafts for flashes, though. You know, like, a guy with his athletic profile, I think his RAS scores compare pretty favorably to Daniil Hunter. He's got these long arms, he's got a quick first step, he's explosive, he can set an edge. You know, I think a guy with that athletic profile and that size speed combo is not going to make it to 50. I really don't see that. He actually went, I think, 31st of the Patriots in our beat writer mock draft today. But I was saying this maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. I feel like he's going to find a way to sneak in.
I don't think he's going to be there 50, but I don't know. The first round for me is a little rich.
I'll say like 27 to 40. That's probably his range for me.
Okay. Put it on Prize Picks.
Well, Actually, that's a great transition. Before we continue the draft, I have to show you my Prize Picks bets for
look what we did.
Proud sponsor of the show, by the way. Use the code HMA and play $5. Get $50 instantly in lineups. And I'm telling you the lineup I have today. So I'm rolling with the Detroit Pistons tonight, obviously, but I'm doing picks in the game. Pistons, Magic, game two. Colton's going to the game. Hopefully you're the good luck charm. Please tell JB Bickerstaff to play Asar Thompson. Thank you. I appreciate it. This is the lineup we're going with tonight. Cade Cunningham over. I'm going more. 9.5 assists tonight. I think he gets double-digit assists. I think last game he had like 4 assists. It's not going to happen again. I think he gets a double-double tonight, but we're just going to rock with the assists. So I'm going more on Cade Cunningham's assists. I think everyone steps up at home, the role players. I'm going more. Paolo Banchero, 21 points. The guy just torches the Pistons every single time they play, and 21 points feels like a disrespectful line. And then the final one, I'm going a bounce-back game for Jalen Duren. Sunday, he had like 8 points and 7 rebounds. It's a guy who's averaging 20 points and 10 rebounds. So I'm going more on 29.5 points rebounds for Jalen Duren. So Jalen Duren, Cade Cunningham, I'm rocking with them both for the Pistons, and then Paolo Banchero I'm going with for the Magic. Pistons win tonight, though, but Paolo's going to put up a ton of points.
I like the Duren pick. He's bouncing back tonight.
We need him to. He got posterized. Maybe not posterized, but
posterized by Angel. He got posterized by Angel Reese.
Yeah, because her boyfriend dunked on him.
Yeah, that was tough.
It's tough. Man. Yeah, that's it happened to my guy, so it's tough.
Yeah, but you know what? Bulletin board material. It's good.
Yeah, there you go. Shout out to Prize Picks. Use that code HMA. Play $5 and get $50 instantly in lineups. Let's get back to our Detroit Lions mock draft. I'll kind of speed it up here to get to pick 50, and then we'll see who's on the board. So let me put this on the screen. Bang. All right.
I'd say just run it to 40, Jeff, and then read the names off after that. Pause it there.
All right, let's do it. So 33, we'll see the kind of run, what happens here. So Jamad goes in the second, by the way. Quick note. He falls to 33. CJ Allen, also 34. You got the cornerback out of South Carolina. How do you say his name? Brandon Sis?
Cisse.
Okay. Denzel
Ball. These up before we went.
Thank you. Trading Stoops. Yes, Stoops. That's the one people
got. Jockus, too, man.
37. Gabe Jakus. Yep. Jockus goes 38. 39. Eli Stowers goes to the Browns. KC Concepcion goes to the Chiefs. Peter Woods to the Saints at 42, 43, Emmanuel Pregnon, the guard, Oregon. Chris Brazel, the wide receiver, goes to the Jets there. D'Angelo Pons, we'll stop it here, 46. So Chris Brazel, 44. D'Angelo Pons, 45. And then Chase, how do you say that last name? Basantis?
Basantis, yeah.
Basantis, the guard. Which
I covered him as a recruit. Michigan State was after him. I'm getting old now.
Yeah, well, not quite a key Mezador, but you know, you're getting a little long in the tooth there. But yeah, here's how the board's kind of falling.
Oh, my second round board is getting wrecked.
Yeah, that was tough.
Yeah,
where all those DBs got like one DB left.
Yeah, this is and you know what? Like, let's just keep it a stack here. Like, these mock drafts are so ridiculous. I'm just gonna be out of like Malachi Lawrence, we just talked about him. He's gonna be available probably at 50. So I'm just saying he's gonna probably be available in this mock draft, but who knows? We have three picks before the Lions. You have the Colts, the Falcons, and the Vikings all before. And they all
think there's
two of them linebackers. Interesting point there.
Trade down.
There's a couple real good linebackers still on the board, I think.
Jacob Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Anthony Hill. Yeah. That's Jeff's guy.
Oh. Look at him. Grinning from ear to ear.
All right. Let's see how these next three picks go here. 47. Please. Okay. Rutledge goes to the Colts. Falcons take Caleb Banks. The Falcons take him, and then the Vikings take Bud Clark at 49.
Oh my God! Early for Bud.
Okay.
While we're at it,
there you go. The board. I mean, this is just ridiculous. Jacob Rodriguez, Malachi Lawrence is here. Avion Terrell's here, the corner. Keontae Scott's here. Anthony Hill's here.
Keontae Scott. Yeah, he's a dog.
I feel like you probably would trade back in this scenario. I mean, there's so many good players here. I mean,
why don't you click on the trades?
Unless you're obsessed with Jacob Rodriguez, which is very possible.
So we have trades.
All these teams are coming up from Malachi because it was like, there's no way this dude made it to 50.
Yeah. You have the Jacksonville calling at 56, San Francisco 58, Seahawks at 64. Then you get to the 70s with the Dolphins and Colts.
Ooh, 64 could be interesting if you could pick up like their pick in the 90s.
It's a pretty big drop, though. 14 picks is a lot of players. I mean, we just saw a run of like eight guys I really liked. I don't know if I have enough to go 14 more teams.
The Jags have 88.
We've already lost Bud Clark, guys.
Yeah,
we're up 56 and 100.
Are we dropping down six? But yeah, get our own
pick back at 100.
That's feasible.
So it says that was the, based on this 23%, if we add in like 205, 81.
Switch 88 for 100.
Get rid of that damn seventh rounder.
70% chance.
Yeah.
So that would be a trade that would work here. We cool with this?
Maybe not in real life. Might have to throw in like a six or something.
Yeah, let it rip.
All right. Bang. All right. So we traded back six picks, picked up another pick, 88. Or not 88, 100, excuse me. And then let's let this board kind of fall. See the Jags.
Hey, that slot trade's looking even better. We got our own pick back, boys.
There goes Rodriguez.
And Jacob Rodriguez. There you go. Goes 50 to replace their linebacker, Devin Lloyd, who left in free agency. 51. The Panthers take Christian Miller. Packers at 52. Avion Terrell to the Packers. That's a good pick for them. 53. Malachi Lawrence. There you go. To the Steelers. 53. 54. Dominique Orange.
Oh, no. Big Citrus.
Big Citrus.
No, big Citrus. We need Big Citrus.
So, still some good players here. R. Mason Thomas is here. Yeah. Keontae Scott, Anthony Hill. You got Dunkers here. That's I love that guy. But there's some options here, certainly. Logan Jones, all these guys. AJ Hall,
Colton.
Yeah.
Lead us off here on what are you doing in round two? What's your recommendation to Brad Iafrady Holmes?
Ooh, based on this board, I mean, a linebacker would be good, and I could pander to Jeff with Anthony Hill. I'll leave that to someone else if they want it, though. I'll go Keontae Scott as my pick. I think this dude's unreal. I know he's older. He's 25. I'm clearly not deterred by that, unlike one of my co-hosts over here. I think he's a little bit tough because he's limited. He can't play on the outside. He's nickel only. But I watch his tape, and I see a lot of Devin Witherspoon. He's just violent. He runs downhill. He's got 4.33 speed. He has so much range all over the field. He can blitz. He can cover ground. I see a lot of, like, Devin Witherspoon, Brian Branch's game. And I think the Lions have been missing that since they moved Branch back to safety. I know he plays in the box a lot, but if there's a way that you can have two Brian Branches on the field and you're just – go ahead and add Keontae Scott to the mix. I think he's a guy that can help your defense immediately. I understand he's on edge, but I think he would probably be one of my favorite players remaining at this point. So I just love me some Keontae Scott. I loved him in the CFP. I thought he was a dog on the field. Fits the Lions mentality to a T. He's athletic. The only thing you worry about is like age and second contract stuff, but I think it's easier to swallow in the second round versus the first.
So I'll make the case here for R. Mason Thomas, and I remember vouching for him like way back at the combine, I think, on this podcast, but he obviously represents a lot of what the Lions have been lacking in the front seven, just some speed, some explosiveness, some juice. And I keep going back to the fact that for all of the sacks the Lions ultimately piled up last year, they were towards the bottom of the league all year in time to quarterback pressure, in time for the opposing quarterback to throw. And I just think R. Mason Thomas is the guy who could help you solve that right away. And yeah, you know, he might be more of like a designated pass rusher in year one, but in that way, like, he would be a very natural complement to what DJ Wonnum is and what DJ Wonnum isn't. Like, we know DJ Wonnum is gonna set an edge against the run. We know he's gonna be able to play on early downs, but R. Mason Thomas off the jump could be someone who plays in passing situations, and maybe he evolves into more as his career progresses. I know he's not the Lions type. He's smaller than they like on the edge. He's more of a 255, 260 guy, but I love the fact that when he was asked about his size limitations by teams at the combine and in meetings ahead of the draft, he said, I just kept telling them an equation. I told them that speed times mass equals force. You know, like it might take me a little bit more speed than a bigger guy to generate force, but I will, because I play with that kind of pop. And it was interesting to me, Caden Proctor said of everyone he ever blocked one-on-one in college, R. Mason Thomas was the most difficult player to handle, because he was like, look, he might be smaller, but he has pop, he has juice. And I think in the front seven, it was clear by the end of last season how much the Lions needed more of that. And no, it might not solve your long-term meat edge if he doesn't fit your typical profile, but this is a chance for the Lions to add some explosiveness to their front. And I think that R. Mason Thomas would do that in a really big way.
I think you gave Thomas about 20 pounds. I think he's probably closer to 240.
Yeah, but, 250.
I also like the player. I think he's actually a better run defender than people give him credit for. The problem is, like, you're talking about a guy that's probably 20 to 25 snaps, and not the worst thing in the world, because they could be really 25 productive snaps. I think I've said this previously, that he, in my mind, replaces the Derek Barnes role, but maybe the Derek Barnes on the line of scrimmage role mixed with some of what Muhammad gave you, right? Or what the vision was for Muhammad. And I think Thomas is one of the best peer pass rushers in this draft. So, like, I think there is a case to be made at pick, wherever we're at, 56, 58. Like, that makes sense. I'm going to present a different edge, one that's not appearing on Jeff's screen, and, you know, whatever the PFF board says doesn't necessarily align with everybody. You're a Charles McDonald guy, right, Colton?
What's up? Yeah.
Charles McDonald. Yeah. That's, I think, Charles McDonald had the guy that I'm about to talk about in his top 40, and that's Dennis Sutton.
Love him.
Penn State. When I went through the edge rushers, you know, some of them I was familiar with, some of them I weren't, you know, in terms of just their beyond the box score. And R. Mason Thomas was one that impressed me more than I anticipated. And Sutton's game really grabbed me. Kind of plays with that Romeo Okwara, what we know about DJ Wonnum style, like a little bit smaller, 255, maybe 260 playing weight. Has a exceptional feel for the run game, has long limbs, knows how to use them to keep blockers off of him. And kind of the way I described him ultimately was, he's what the Lions wanted and want him, with probably a little bit more pass rush upside. Not a ton more, but, like, I could see this guy getting 6-7 sacks in a season and, you know, giving you really, really good run defense on first and second down. And so, you know, if I'm to make a case for a guy I really like at 50 or 56, that's kind of a sleeper from the edge position for me.
Yeah, I love Danny Dennis Sutton. That's another one. I know he's kind of low on here, but I don't think he's as low as they have him on here. He's like 80 on here or something. There's no way. He's like, yeah, that's a little lower. 90 almost.
Where's Derek Moore ranked on this? Or didn't
he is 78.
78, okay. He's another one I think could be a fit.
Yeah, he's another guy I've seen mock to the Lions here as well. Yeah, this is another one. You have multiple guys. Like, this is kind of falling, actually, really ideally. I mean, you have R. Mason Thomas, Keontae Scott, Anthony Hill. And if you just go a little farther, you have a bunch of options here. I
feel like Moore is, like, one of those guys that, like, does everything better than average, but nothing great. Elite.
Yeah.
And I don't know how that translates to the NFL, right? Like, does that put you in the box with Josh Pascal again? You know, I'm not, you know, obviously different players, different athleticism, different skill sets, but, like, I always worry when you're, like, drafting a guy that's a little bit above average on everything at college, does that just turn into average at everything at the next level?
It's a fair question. Yep.
I think if you're Brad Holmes here, he's probably just going the best player available. And to me, like, trying to look at through his lens a little bit, I think they're going to fall in love with Keontae Scott. I just think they're going to absolutely love that guy. I don't know. It's because of what they have some nickels on 1 year deals, but he does kind of play that Witherspoon, you know, Brian Branch in the nickel role. And so I think, yeah, he's just, he was just big time for Miami. So I think I'm going to pull the trigger on Keontae, just trying to think like Brad a little bit here, even though I love Anthony Hill, but I just think they're going to take him. I mean, if they're looking at the best player available, it's him or our Mason Thomas based on these rankings, but I think just pound for pound, they're probably going Keontae Scott. So I'll take him at 56.
And look, we got 100 and 118, and we can trade up with that extra pick that we got from trading down. So I wouldn't mind that.
We can. We can get – what's like a realistic range to trade up to? With
let's pause it at 80 and start talking.
All right. And then we'll we don't have to do the fifth round. I just – now that we're kind of crunched, we'll just do the we'll just kind of fast forward after this. Anthony Hill goes 64, just to give an update there.
Here's what I like about Crawford of Scott and really any of the elite nickel guys is like you look at the roster and you're like, I don't know how many different guys they could draft, even the offensive tackles that'll start on week one, right? Like I feel like a nickel could start on week one. And so, you know, that is a really, if you could find a dynamic one, by all means.
Yeah. We're at 80. We're at 81 now, which it's funny. We had literally traded the Jags, which we were talking to.
Is my guy still on the board?
I think he is.
He's still on the board.
Yes.
Go get him.
We could do. Let's see how this would. It'd be 118 and 100 for 81 as a 42.
That didn't get it done. Wow.
Yeah, that is kind of crazy. I mean, maybe if you throw in like the last pick in the draft,
just keep giving the Jags all of our future thirds.
Okay, let me just do that. I'm just gonna do this to get it done, just because we don't know.
Oh no!
I mean, dude, we're getting absolutely bent over by the Jags again. Okay. All right, so we actually
Kyle Lewis. Yeah, he's there.
It's Kyle Lewis, Danny Dennis Sutton.
And, you already drafted your nickel.
That's right.
We did. Yeah, we did.
He's our linebacker.
And who are we? So are we? Is this like? Is there anyone else people would fight for? Because I'm on board with the
we Danny Dennis Sutton edge. Pick here. Yeah.
All right.
Let's appease the masses.
Yeah. Let's. They got the edge, so people feel good about that. And then we'll kind of speed it up a little bit here.
I am not equipped to talk about
my sweet prince, Kyle Lewis.
Yeah, 85. He goes 85.
Oh, he stays home and goes to Pittsburgh.
That'll be fun.
And let's see here. So we'll get to 128. We'll see. Oh, so we have our tackle, nickel, edge, first three picks.
We're doing good.
Good. I think we're doing very good. Let's see here. Nick Singleton just went, and Sam Roush just went.
Jeff, what did you trade? I'd lost track of that.
I just traded. I traded 100, 118, and like 213 or whatever it was.
Okay. So. And then he mixed in two future firsts just to get.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. We're and in a time crunch, Brad. Sorry, bud.
Traded Sam Laporta as well. That's how we're doing it.
I'm sure he's gone. Quickly, Jeff, throw me to the running back board.
All right, let's see. Running backs. Yeah, the Penn State guys, it looks like, are gone.
I think PFF is higher on Jonah Coleman than any board, and I knew that was going to rob me, but that might be one of the plant the flag guys for me. I'm all in on Washington's Jonah Coleman. Love the tape. Of the backs available, I think it's like Emmett Johnson. I don't know if there's anybody else that I like in this draft back-wise. But he's not great in pass protection either. So I don't know, man.
How about linebacker? Who's available? I got a guy. I got my eyes on someone in particular.
We got a couple on the list.
So there's the linebackers here. Jack Kelly, Harold Perkins.
There he is. Oh, what? They have him so low. Caleb Alarms or.
Yeah.
Nah, he's going like fourth, maybe fifth round.
Yeah, they have them. They disrespect him on here. 200 is crazy. It's like Fuller. They have Andre Fuller at like 220 on here or something.
It's an interesting board. Yeah. I like Caleb Alarmsor. I think he is a great athlete. I think he had like a 9.3 RAS. Got good coverage skills. He's a high character guy, like culture guy, locker room guy. Pretty good athlete. I think he could play the will position and end up being a pretty good coverage linebacker in the NFL. And that's kind of where my mind's been looking when I'm talking about linebackers, is like a coverage linebacker that can replace Anzalone or at least do some of the things that he can do. That is now gone with him being in Tampa. So I think Dane has him as like a third or fourth round range for his grade. But I see they got him at like 201 or something. What did that say? 180, 201 for him?
Yeah, 20. Yeah.
That's yeah, super 201. Low. Mm-hmm. They would give us an F for that pick, but I think it would be good in real life.
Not the PFF grade. Not the F, man. It's tough. Yeah.
I actually think it went like 127 board look in like, Dane 7. Oh, yeah, that's a good question.
So safeties, let's look at that's yeah, there you go. Safeties, Dalton Johnson at Arizona, Michael Taft is a key, Wheatley. I love Jacoby Thomas out of Miami.
Is Bishop Fitzgerald still? Oh, there he is.
Yep.
They're kind of disrespecting him too, dude.
Mm. Yeah, ball hawk, man.
He's a ball hawk, which is why I was asking about him, because I feel like the only time the Lions have had a top 10 defense under this regime is when they had ball hawks who were healthy and on the field. I mean, the biggest reason their defense thrived in 2023 or 2024 before all those injuries was just Kirby was taking the ball away. And Brian earlier in the year was taking the ball away. And I don't know how much you can rely on Kirby to do that going forward with the uncertain knee. And we'll see what Brian looks like coming off the ACL, but or sorry, off the Achilles. I feel like if you've got a chance at that point in the draft to add some proven ball production into the secondary, you know, that could go a long way for this defense.
God, yeah. Taft is a total Lions dude too. Just a super try hard, all special teams stand out. Show me the tight end board just out of curiosity, Jeff.
Yeah. Tight end.
I'm just going to snipe Will here.
So Michael Trey out of Baylor.
There's some good ones here. Feels like
there's your guy.
Delp. Yeah.
Dolan Bentley. Feels like criminally like
low. Go back to the top of that board for me. Oh man. Oh, there's some really good ones in there. I am a little surprised Delp is here.
Kind yeah, of that guy. Is
really earlier. Been considering this deep in the draft. I like Kazmarek. I like Borkcher, obviously. I'm kind of the opinion, given their tight end situation is none under contract for 2027 currently. I think Laporta obviously gets done, but you know, room for a number two. Pick your poison, you know, whatever you like there. Kazmarek's more of a blocker. Borkcher's a little bit of do everything. And I think Delp's probably more of a, I don't know, do everything, more receiver first, ascending blocker. I think you can make a case for any of those. But in terms of perceived value, you know, probably Delp.
Delp went 74th in Dane's seven round mock. So that, I don't know if he'll be there at 128.
Yeah, Delp feels like really good value. You know, he was fun to talk to at the combine. One thing that he said that stood out to me was that, like in today's NFL, to really thrive as a team, you need to have a tight end that can own the C gap and can own the perimeter. And you know, he does those two things. And yeah, I would be stunned if he was still on the board here. And that feels like a just a very prudent pick at that point in the draft.
So what's are we going somewhere two for Delp at this point?
I'm also good I'm with wrapping this draft. Holy smokes. I'm out of guys.
I just don't think Delp is realistic here, but if we want to do it for the sake of it,
you can't turn down the value.
I will say Caleb Alarmzor, my linebacker, he went 124th in Dane's mock. So I think that would actually be realistic in this range. But
yeah, let's you know what? I want to take a linebacker. We haven't
or DT. We could talk about that too. I don't know which DTs are available, but they could use another one.
Most of them.
Zane Durant. There you go. That's like the highest ranked one. Yeah, then there's like kind of a drop off. Caleb Proctor out of Southeastern Louisiana.
That's a Proctor. I could see them being.
Proctor's my fifth round pick. I'm just gonna put it out there right now.
So we'll do. You know what? Let's pull a Brad here. Let's take Caleb Alarmzor. I feel like that's a Brad like out of nowhere. 128. They take a guy they absolutely love, and then we'll take. We'll do 157.
Get a running back or tight end there, maybe.
Or actually, we guess we could just finish it. We have 5 minutes left. You want to just roll? Oh, I can just simulate the next two picks, and then we can just talk about what we did because we only have a couple minutes left on the show anyway. So here, I'll just
Carson Beckett.
Just take whoever the best player available. Okay, let's just get out of here. All right, so our draft minus the Carson Beck is there you go. Monroe Freeling at 17, 56. We traded back from 50, took Keontae Scott, picked up another pick, picked up 100. And then we traded up from 100, added 118 and 205, got 81, drafted Denny Dennis Sutton out of Penn State, the edge rusher. And then in the fourth round, Caleb Alarms or linebacker out of TCU. So that's the four round mock, which I think if this happened, like I think people would be cool with this. I would be cool with this.
I feel exceptionally good about those first three picks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think you got
expecting Caleb.
What the hell?
Yeah.
What just happened?
It's my guy. You said only the first three picks, not my Caleb. Pick at fourth. Not Caleb Alarms or man. He's a stud.
I'm just starting with guys that are given contributions immediately. I honestly don't know enough about Caleb to comment. That's probably the more accurate description.
I think the first three are the bigger names in the top 100. So people look at those guys as like more contributors earlier. And I think all three of those guys would be on the field at some point, maybe like what Will was saying, maybe not week one for Monroe, but at some point. And then Keontae and Denny would definitely play pretty quickly. So this would be a good turnout.
I will say, and this is probably a testament to how quickly like the NFL sands can shift year to year. Sounds crazy to say based on they just signed Aleem McNeil, a year ago, essentially to a major deal. And they just drafted a D tackle in the first round last year. But if the Lions don't come out of this draft with a D tackle that can at least help them against the run next year, it would give me a little pause. Like they have lost a lot of girth and a lot of space eating in Roy Lopez and DJ Reader, and there really is not a whole lot of depth right now in the trenches behind Aleem and Tyleek. And honestly, Aleem to me is becoming more and more of a pass rusher on the interior, and Tyleek is a little bit more well-rounded. But I those two guys, Roy and DJ Reader, occupied a lot of double teams last year, and one of the reasons that I was high on Big Citrus Dominique Orange coming into this little mock draft is that, you know, he's a guy who could play that role. Like, no, there isn't much pass rush upside there, but I do think the Lions could afford to invest like on the earlier side in someone who can just eat up some of those double teams to help out Aleem and Tyleek and help those guys like access more of their pass rush next season. Dominique Orange, what was described to me by someone as like a landlord of the A gap. And like, that's what the Lions have lost in Reader and even Lopez to an extent. So I would hope that they could come out of the weekend with someone that could help them there in 2026.
A guy that might be able to fill. I just think that's a position maybe you can fill a little bit later in the draft and sometimes even UDFAs, but you know, maybe a guy like Dante Corleone from Cincinnati, who I believe had contact. I think he might've said the Lions were the only team that talked to him at the combine, which was interesting. And then, another one that just fresh on my mind, just because I like looking at the Pride of Detroit grid index. I think it's a novel idea. Albert Regis from Texas A&M, you know, talking kind of a awkwardly built 6'1", 317, but you know, a guy that does a good job controlling those A gaps and you know, pretty relentless competitor there on the inside. So I think you can find that guy on day three, whether it's, you know, somewhere between rounds 5 and 7.
Mm. You see this lumberjack in the chat. Nick Saban essentially said on McAfee today that Proctor is in discipline outside the building. Doesn't sound like a Brad Holmes guy.
Oof.
I need to watch that because I didn't hear that. But
he's not getting
Saban saying that.
That's a wild thing. I like that. Yeah. I'll have to go find it. Sounds like
man.
Doesn't even sound real.
By the way, I will say before we close out the show, I will nominate and say that the Dog and Pony Show pick of the week is going to be the first round pick, Monroe Freeling. So, Kyle, if you're watching, hopefully you enjoyed that. I'll be there tomorrow, so come hang out for the first round of the NFL draft. You can watch me either crash out or have loggers with me. We're having a great time. So it'll be fun. A lot of people will be out there, out in Oak Park. So shout out to Kyle, man. Proud sponsor of the show, Dog and Pony Show Brewing. So go get some beer. I still have plenty of Colonel Lager in the refrigerator, and hopefully I don't have to down these on Friday. Depending on how the first round goes. So it'll be It'll be a lot of fun. Or actually, hopefully, I do get to down them on Friday. Change that. But yeah, I have to watch the Caden Proctor stuff too. I'm not really a big Caden Proctor guy personally, but I understand the interest. I really do. We'll get out of here. Appreciate you all for watching. Like the stream. Don't forget, if you're not subscribed, I don't know what you're doing, subscribe. And if you're listening on podcast platforms, leave a 5-star review. We'll catch you guys next week to recap the draft. But until then,